Let me just try it again.
I was like, I feel like my mic is on or unplugged. That's really all I have.
Yeah.
Check, baby, check, baby. One,
One,
two,
two.
three, four.
Right, how's everybody doing? I'm doing great. Because I put on
Whoa,
pajamas. What?
pajamas, huh?
At 6:50 in the evening.
Like actual pajamas?
Actual pajamas. I'm ready to go. They have
Nice.
polka dots.
Huh.
Do you guys all call it pajamas? Because I feel like I always
No,
call it
I was
pajamas.
just saying what he was saying.
Oh, I always say
Pajamas.
pajamas. I say
That's
pajamas.
cool. I'm gonna start saying that.
Pajama.
What about, can we all agree on
Pajamas.
PJs?
Yeah, PJs are
PJs?
fine.
We're
Yeah.
Midwestern.
PJs.
PJs are great.
PJs, that's easier.
Let's
It's okay if he says that.
Wear
He's
my
from Arkansas.
Pajamas in
He's gonna jump at you.
Arkansas.
Pajamas. Pajamas, not pajamas. Although now, there's like that movie called The Pajama Game. Well,
Nope.
You mean the pajama game?
The Pajama Game, and now I don't know exactly how to refer to that movie, which I do often in conversation.
Is this an old movie?
Yeah, I think it's who's in it? I think it's like
What?
it feels like
1957.
one of those like Doris Day movies. 1957, yeah.
Okay.
Who's in it? The Pajama Game. The Pajama. I
And
think
it takes place in an Iowa pajama factory.
Hey.
What? So we know it's pajama then, because that's what we say here.
Okay, I guess it would be The Pajama
That's
Game.
crazy.
It was on Broadway too.
Yeah, it is Doris Day. Weird.
Yeah. Well then.
That's a deep cut and topical. I didn't know it was in
Totally.
Iowa. I didn't know it was an Iowa pajama factory.
Just gonna
Pajama factory. I don't know what.
watching the
A
trailer.
PJ
I'm gonna see what
game.
they
That's
say.
what. Oh yeah, how do you?
I'm getting breathy sounds.
Is it me?
Breathing sounds. Is it me? Oh.
I think it's Slaughter.
Is it really? Oh my God. All right. How about now?
Now you're just quiet.
Don't get it too far
Now you're just
away.
quiet.
Oh, how about now?
See that's why I put my mic way up here. Like by my eye.
Yeah, it
We
also helps
can
in
hear your.
drinking beer.
We
Yeah,
hear your
how
eye
about
sounds
oh,
too.
now?
There it is,
I'm
right
like a
there. That's
pirate.
perfect.
Every time you
You
blink, it
do
goes
like
fuffle, fuffle, fuffle.
Dan looks like a
Okay,
podcast
but
pirate.
seriously though, this better?
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I can
Cool.
hear you. Yeah.
You need like nose blinders.
Yeah, I'm breathing a lot today.
Yeah.
More than
Like a
normal, I'd
horse.
say.
This is just a
Yeah,
heavier than
yeah.
usual breathing day. I don't know.
I
A
love
lot of
the air
oxygen.
today. It's really bringing me back home. No, I'm trying to figure out this stupid package thing.
Dave,
This package thing?
Hello?
Okay, well I'm playing
with my
you play
package.
with your package. I have a question for Dave.
That may
Dave,
not answer.
how's the homeless life?
We have a home. We bought a house.
You're dead?
Oh,
No,
so you own it?
I know you do. But you're not in it yet, are you?
We went to it today. That's where I was actually. So yeah, we bought this lot, and then the house next to it went to foreclosure. So we bought the foreclosed house, and now we're going to
Oh, you
combine
did
the
get the
lot and
house.
the
Oh,
house.
cool. Congrats.
We did. Yep, we did. Yeah, it's pretty exciting.
Congratulations.
Needs a lot of work, but yep, pretty cool. So semi-homeless, still in the apartment.
But you own a home.
But we own a home, a lot, and an apartment. We're moguls.
You're officially.
Nice.
Are we
Pretty
just
exciting
testing?
times.
Where are you at right now,
So,
though?
when you start to knock down stuff.
I'm in the apartment right now. We're not knocking down anything. Well, we're just ripping out. We're gutting the house. That's it.
Yeah, I
So,
bet. Yeah, I bet.
gutting it.
Is it really, really bad inside, or is it just kind of just old?
Little column A, little column B.
Okay.
It's old, and there's just some really bad, gross stuff that Dave's not going to live in. So,
Right.
it needs to be stripped down.
Do you have to do like New interior plumbing.
I think plumbing is the only thing we can save. We're going to do all new electrical, all new HVAC, all new walls, ceilings.
Do you know what you should do?
Tell me.
You should have like a hand sanitizer. You know how they do central vac? You could get like central sanitizer so that, you know, there's just little sanitizer outlets everywhere. And then you just have like a giant bin in the basement.
With a tubing system.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
A hydraulic tubing system.
I tell you
system.
What, I did find something else that's pretty cool. All your like dual-purpose light bulbs throughout your house. So during the day, they're just like regular white light. And then at night, they're all UV lights, and they kill all the germs and bacteria in your house during the day. Or during the night. Yeah, pretty awesome. They're a little expensive, but...
So that's a no like, on central sanitizer.
I feel like
sanitizer.
Your immune system would be hurt.
Yes, I pass on that. That sounds a little messy.
All right.
What about anybody else grow up in a Catholic household where you had holy water things at the entrance of every room?
My grandmother had that.
Yes. You could do that with hand sanitizer.
You could. Yeah. I like that idea. The holy hand sanitizer.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Little Virgin Mary with a little ethyl alcohol.
She's cupping it like this, and then you just put your hands in a little Purell. And then when you bless yourself, clean your forehead.
Mm-hmm. Or just do like one of the baby crosses on your forehead, you know, with a thumb. Yep.
Well, believe it or not, this is episode 38 of Hyatt Hangout.
I don't believe it.
Well, you better, because it's here. Or it will be here at some time. And, this is Daniel from Arkansas, playing my own pajama game.
Oh, we got you converted. Now it's pajamas.
Yeah, yeah.
And guess what? On the trailer, they said pajama game.
Pajama game.
They sung it, though. There was like, pajama game.
Yeah, it sounds probably better to sing pajama than pajama.
Yeah.
you can't really sing that.
I'm sure that's what the director told them. Mm-hmm. I'll go.
Silence. Do it.
Hi.
Well, what are we going to talk about?
We're talking. We're doing
talking.
Introductions.
We're here. This is live. I mean,
wow.
We don't need to worry about what we're talking about yet. We still have like at least 20 minutes of introductions to get through. Yeah, so
that's we're going to talk about weather and then possibly religion and then politics.
Politics.
Oh, there we go.
1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
I'm Scott from Iowa.
Oh.
Hi.
Hi.
How's it going, man?
How are you? Nice to meet you. I live in the state of Iowa.
Too.
Hey, what are you drinking? You never said what you're drinking, Daniel.
Oh, I'm finishing off some Forest Queen Milk Stout, the beer that never ends.
I still have some too. I might go get one of those.
I do too.
Mm. Oh, is that the beer I tried within your house?
What's that?
Yeah, it's.
Oh yeah,
did I try
that
when I was at your house? Yeah, all right.
Yes,
that was pretty good.
Yeah,
yeah. The
it's good. Maroon. It's good for the for the first half case. It's not so great for the third or fourth.
That is too much.
No, it's on much. 100-degree day. A nice milk stout. That's nice.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, that was my
exactly
experience.
What I wanted.
I'm like, oh, it's a nice warm day today. Thanks for this.
I don't care. I've got pajamas on. What are you drinking, Scott?
I am drinking a boring but appropriate Sam Adams Summer Ale, given that it is the last day of summer. And
absolutely.
It feels
it is.
Hot out.
Summer was like, I'm not giving up now. Mm-mm. Get it all in right now.
Hi, this is Ken. I'm from Iowa also. And I am drinking something I haven't had for a long time, a Grolsch Premium Ale.
Oh, okay.
Out of a pint glass with a nice Hunter S. Thompson quote engraved on the side.
What's the quote?
Let us toast to animal pleasures, to escapism, to rain on the roof and instant coffee, to unemployment insurance and library cards, to absinthe and good-hearted landlords, to music and warm bodies and contraceptives, and to the good life, whatever it is and wherever it happens to be.
Bravo.
Wow.
It's from
that
a wedding.
That was both inspiring and incredibly specific.
And very long for a pint
glass.
You
know, you ever if you ever read any Hunter S. Thompson, he gets pretty specific.
Yep.
January 17, 1958 is when he said that.
Hey, that was a year after the pajama game was released.
I know, I was going to mention that. These were from my wedding. These pint glasses were just on the table.
Oh, nice. How about you, Hi. Dave?
I'm Dave. And temporarily from Allendale, Michigan, the home of Grand Valley State University.
Mm-hmm.
I am drinking yet another, although it's my last one, all day IPA.
No, you're not. Get out of here. No.
It's the last in the fridge.
I do not believe that.
Just turn your awesome.
I was about to say, it's probably more
last
right
day
there.
IPA.
Yeah.
Last day.
Uh-huh.
Forget the hand sanitizer. Oh, there Can you do an in-house system for delivery of
I could probably do
all
that.
Day IPA?
That makes more sense.
Yeah.
That's economical.
And I want it to be like that tracking system at that one bar you took me to.
What?
Or somebody took me to. No, Scott and Ken took me to that.
Tell them more, please.
Tracking system?
What?
The bar in Iowa, the brewery, or where you get a little bracelet and you...
Oh, right, you get the bracelet and you can...
Oh, yeah.
Does
track
your beer intake?
We lost somebody.
No, it tracks how much comes out of the tap. So, like, you buy ounces, so you can pour as much or as little as you want to.
Dave, wasn't this my dream?
And then you pour, and it just tracks.
Yes, this was our idea.
There's got to be so many legal ramifications of that, though, right?
Like,
you don't have a bartender to determine if you're drunk or not?
It cuts you off at a certain point.
Because there's a restaurant, Beer Burger, that does this in North Liberty. And as soon as I started pouring, they had to clear. And then they just like gave me some free beer. And as soon as they cleared it, I had to stop drinking. Because it said you have to talk to the attendant. And she came over and she said, well, because we cleaned it out, you've had more than three glasses of beer.
That's the...
So... Every time I went over, they had
it's
to,
like a you check out line at the grocery store, and they're like verified.
Yep,
that makes sense.
We're still missing Daniel Spillers.
Just he's MIA. I guess I'll go just in case we are actually still recording. I'm the other Daniel. No,
do it.
Okay.
Are you okay,
going.
Man?
What happened?
It's that same thing where it's like. Google just decided to log me out, and it keeps making me wonder if I am compromised. Mm-hmm. But I've got two-factor authentication. That's why it took me so long to get back. I had to go find my phone. So it just decided to expire my credentials.
Google did?
It's really strange. It does seem like that's not a good thing.
Mm-mm. I will say it only happens when I'm connected to the Google Meet, the video conferencing. As far as I can tell. So something strange is happening.
I have two-factor also. It's never done that.
Yeah. Well, so.
Oh, we run Daniel Slaughter. Go, Dan.
Go, Dan.
Go, Dan.
As Dave just mentioned, Daniel Slaughter. That's me. I'm from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Also work for Grand Valley State University. And today, I went to New Holland Brewery, and I had a couple of beverages, and it was really fantastic. I mean, I sat outside, like it's September, at least at the day of this recording, September 21st, and today it was 90 degrees in Michigan. It should be snowing right now. Not really snowing, but it should be really cold. And then I got home, and I thought, it's a really good idea if I'm making old fashioned right now.
Mm.
And like I even like
that's a lot of
even a wine glass.
That's a tall.
Yeah,
that's
there's lots of snacks in here. So I actually like burn the orange and everything else and like put it all in here. It's very good old fashioned, but I feel nice.
As you should.
The most honest statement in this podcast thus far.
I don't know regarding that.
You look nice too. You're welcome.
Thank you.
You do. Scott's saying what we all think.
Got a collar shirt on.
So what's the news?
I mean, are you wearing pants this time?
I actually put on shorts, and they clash completely with my flannel shirt because they are
flannel
also
shorts.
Yeah. I'm gonna show you guys.
All right.
Oh.
See that?
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, you mean?
Sorry, podcast listeners can't
quality.
Know.
You mean they're podcasting. Plaid, Dan, not flannel.
Well, the looked like it was the same.
Yeah, I do mean that. Oh,
I was like,
that seems counterproductive. Yeah. Flannel and shorts.
They're plaid. You're right.
So it's not flannel fabric.
Dan
or that
know the
same kind of cottony, whatever.
No, apparently, in my brain right now, cannot process what flannel means. Oh no, flannel is like the thick material. No, it is not that. It is plaid.
Well, now I kind of want. Find flannel shorts that I can wear with my flannel shirt.
I think those are called pajamas.
Oh, yeah.
Pajamas.
Pajamas. Yeah.
That's true.
With a jaw.
So what's the news? I know what I want to talk about, but it may be...
Well, sounds like you have an agenda. Go. Do it.
Well, so since our last podcast, Apple has made... their anniversary phone announcement. So I was wondering what y'all thought about the iPhone X.
I think it's a little ridiculously expensive.
It is expensive.
It doesn't seem like it's worth the price. Like,
yeah, I don't quite get it.
Nothing really is justifying that crazy, crazy high price.
Well, it's the Face ID, right? I think that's the main thing, and they have really, really powerful processors in it to do that. But yeah, I'm still gonna get one.
Oh, sorry, we're all ripping out.
Well, I have a 6 right now, so I'm due a phone generation, and I have been looking at the Apple upgrade program, and I at first like I've always bought my phones, like I just outright buy them. But I can't really find a problem with their upgrade program. They basically prorate it across 2 years. No interest, includes AppleCare, and you just pay it out in 24 payments. And
so if you take the payments and multiply it out,
it's
the exact
same as if you were to buy the phone and AppleCare outright. So
weird. Okay. I always thought they marked that up a little bit.
I thought they did too, or that it was like a financing thing, but if it's like a financing at zero interest.
Huh.
And then after 12 months, so 1 year in, you are eligible to replace that phone. And then you can just keep kind of a monthly payment and never have to be out, you know, $1,000.
That is the same deal Verizon offers. I wonder if Apple forced them to do it.
Right. All of the carriers also offer their own version of those payment plans that they marry with your, you know, so I could get it all in one bill. It could just be an extra part of my bill if I wanted to, or I could do it straight from Apple, which I kind of prefer straight from Apple. Therefore, I'm free to choose my carrier. Anyway, that's been the big tech thing on my mind. I'm excited about that.
So when they made their announcement,
that is awesome.
Dug through my box of old technology and found my Palm Pre because I was curious how similar the swipey kind of gesture interface was to what WebOS kind of launched way back in the day. And it's surprisingly similar as far as pulling up an app and switching apps and swiping stuff away. And the interface was awesome on the Pre. I loved it. And I think if that's any sort of indicator, Apple has, you know, stolen from the right people, but it's a really kind of cool interface, but it's not theirs.
Yeah. Yeah. And
well, like most things Apple does, they steal it from somebody else and then they do it right.
Yeah. Right.
Although the card interface on the Pre was actually really good.
Yeah. I got it out. I hadn't fired this thing up in, gosh, years and years and years. And I missed it. Like, I just kind of got into playing with it and swiping through things. And it's slow and old as far as technology goes. But the interface, they did it right.
Huh.
Go ahead.
Oh, sorry. Even on Android, they've had like the facial recognition unlock for the last couple of years.
Right.
So it's really interesting to see that Apple's finally adapting that and like making that like, oh my God, we just invented this cool thing. Which I think theirs is probably going to do a little bit better job because they have the dual camera and like, you know, integrated.
That's what they do. They study other stuff and then they say, okay, let's do it with as detailed as we can. You know, I think the big price point on that is the OLED display. I think that's where the money sink is. But
I'm sure those cameras are the facial recognition.
That's
thing
a good point.
Is not cheap. Somebody, I read an article. I don't remember where it was. Somebody was saying it's basically a Kinect in the top of an iPhone.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Yep. And I think there's like two 12 megapixel cameras lens. You know, the two lenses that can take that high of a quality picture. So it's going to be very interesting. I'm basically splurging since I've, you know, skipped a generation or actually two models so far.
You know what, Daniel? You deserve it.
I deserve
it. Treat yourself.
I'm going to treat myself. I'm turning 40 this year.
Nice.
So I'm going to get an iPhone X. But I'm not going to pay for it all at once.
The other thing that I thought was an interesting parallel to the Palm Pre and WebOS was the inductive charging. Like, they were the ones that kind
That's
of
the other thing,
were
yeah.
the very first to push that out. Mm-hmm. And I saw the announcement and I'm like, holy cow, that's like a big Palm Pre with a way better chip and a way better screen.
Yeah.
I am disappointed and shocked it took Apple this long to introduce inductive charging. Granted, they had to go back to glass to do it, so I guess that they were obsessed with the metal backing. But
was that on the 8 and the X, or just it is okay?
They should have done that when they killed the headphone jack and kind of had an argument for the why can't I charge and listen to music through headphones at the same time. Uh-huh.
It would have been elegant and beautiful, yeah. Oh, well.
I thought I'd read something that inductive charge, you know, when you have that many fields going on, it interferes with something else, and Apple didn't want to do it until they could figure out how to solve certain problems, and that's pretty much Apple's MO.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to do it when they figure it out the way they want
to. I wonder what it interfered with, though, because so many Android phones had it, and there weren't really issues. It's probably
a space
thing.
I think it's just
a
matter of space and battery power, I guess. You know, you just have to increase your radios. I think the inductive charging looks really, really cool because it's such a simple first world problem, but throwing your phone down on something and get it to charge.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not
impressed. I don't have to like hunt for my
cables for a phone. Yeah.
I'll be honest, it's kind of scary. Are you guys scared by that at all? Like, you're kind of microwaving your pocket or, like, the thing that goes in your pocket, but you're also standing by it, maybe at work, and it's, like, charging next to you.
Well, but
you're not supposed to charge it in your pocket.
Then. Maybe I'm crazy.
It's not going to induct.
No, I mean, don't, like, stand next to a wall that's inducting, but, like, you know, you're going to get to work, and, like, 2 feet from me, you're going to throw on the induction charger. Or, like, next year when you sleep, you know, like, on your nightstand or something. It's
can't be any worse than the cellular or Wi-Fi signals going through your brain.
Yeah, I think they're possibly stronger.
I think it's got to be pretty close. Like, did you ever get an inductive charger with your Nexus 5, Dan?
I did not.
Oh, okay. I had them, and they don't really charge until it's, like, literally sitting there. So like it's a half like an inch. Right, I mean, it's got to have physical contact.
Yeah.
So it's not like shooting power waves out.
I guess
out.
As long as it has to like touch. Yep. Yeah. Because in my mind, it's like you can like hover it over top of it. Just
no, I don't think
I'm
it, you
go
can
Dave
do that.
Because,
it actually has to touch.
I think you're probably going to get a lot more fried holding a phone that's roaming up to your ear than...
Yes.
Yes.
You're already being fried.
Yep. Yeah, I was going to say... this.
Late. Yep.
It's one of those inverse squared things. We're all safe.
This old-fashioned... This old-fashioned's probably frying in the morning.
That's probably true. That's phone
is. Yeah. We're all going to die someday.
Let's talk about it.
Yep. 7 years of South by Southwest, probably. Did damage.
Probably.
Oh, I have, on that topic, some people from our office went to a conference called Digital Summit.
Don't tell the world.
I know. So he was telling me about it, and I'm like,
they're not going to know for a year.
This is the early days of South by Southwest. Ooh. Like, everything he told me about it, I'm like, oh my gosh. It sounds like very different topics, very different tracks. Some were just like behavior psychology. Some were like SEO. It could be as specific or vague as you want, but it sounded amazing. And I was like, I think I might need to go to this conference.
Looks like they're all over.
Yep, they are.
Huh. Where's the next one? This plan?
I think I'm actually going to go to one in 2018. And there's a significant higher ed discount. So,
hey, that's what I want to hear.
Yeah.
Bonus.
All right, where to? Denver?
Somewhere I was looking warmer. At... which one was I looking at? I don't remember.
Phoenix?
There's Detroit.
That just happened. That's
it's
the one
Detroit?
They went to.
Oh, but there's another one in 2018. They're coming back to Detroit.
Oh.
No, let's go somewhere fun.
Philadelphia.
Philadelphia?
Portland?
I've got friends in Philadelphia.
Phoenix? I've seen National Treasure. I know
they make cream cheese. That's all I have.
Anyway, we should keep our eye on that. It sounded really nice. I think it's going to blow up.
I wonder what...
At least it's spread out, though, too. It can't get too gigantic in one place.
It's true. And Steve Wozniak is in almost all of them, so that's fun.
Oh. Really?
Yep. How is it?
Content search, email, mobile, UX design, social strategy.
Sounds cool.
Yeah. Yeah, if you guys want to pick one out, if you have some budget for conferences, we should meet up. That'd be fun.
Well, it looks fairly marketing focused, though, like marketing and design. I'm wondering.
You're right.
I'm wondering how much dev or tech.
Does it have dev tracks?
It may not.
Data? No, it's data. Not really. UX and design is probably as close as you get.
Right,
that's
right.
Okay. That's okay, because that sort of bleeds into... That's...
Yeah.
It all overlaps.
Well, I look at things like SEO and measurement. That's something that we're trying to get more into. But, you know, my next thing is probably going to be... or probably needs to be kind of more DevOps, cloud, container, running clustered WordPresses, that kind of thing. That's what I'm very, very interested in exploring next as far as the web goes.
Dev environment or a production environment?
Yes.
Okay.
So I've been reading about how different people have, used Docker or Vagrant to run WordPress installations that are, scaling to where you can kind of have multiple front ends that are talking to the same database back end. You can have a separate, editor, a service that's just for your content editors, and then you have kind of either cached front ends or read only front ends kind of thing. So
it's funny you should say that. I was just prior to the podcast starting, I was trying to figure out how to spin up a Docker container for a WordPress multi-site. It's simple with a single site, but I'm trying to get a multi-site to work.
I'm doing a lot of exploration with Amazon Web Services recently because of the hackathon that we're getting ready to do. And that's where we're storing our scoreboard and some other puzzles and things. So I've been exploring that. I really want to make WordPress work on that.
So from what you were talking about before, you're talking about focusing on headless CMS?
Not quite headless. Scalable. You know, I want to be able to have two or three copies of my WordPress environment, which would be the files, and the web servers, and then have all of my like uploaded files, attachments and things on a content delivery network, and then my databases somewhere else. You know, I just want it to be clustered. And right now WordPress is pretty much a two server thing, if that. So where you're using the same installation to edit your content that you are using it to present your content. That's how WordPress works. That's how Drupal works too, but that doesn't scale very well.
Mm-hmm.
We've been seeing some incredible performance hits as our multi-site has neared 400 sites, and I've got a lot of people editing it, and they're accessing it uncached, and I've got a lot of traffic that's hopefully hitting the cache, but not always. Anyway, we're coming up to a point where I've got to scale, and I have to learn a lot to do that. So it's also exciting.
I just want to put my two cents in there and just say that I feel like I'm not an expert in any specific area. I'm sort of a jack of all trades.
I'm on mute.
And I dabble with a lot of things. And Docker just still strikes me as magical.
Magical as in it's amazing what it can do, or magical as in you're not sure what's going on?
Magical in what it does.
Yeah.
Just so quickly, with fewer resources than I think it should take, and a very small footprint.
No,
and
the only thing we have is this.
Up and running, boom, I have a dev environment. And I get so excited about like tweaking it, saying, oh, I'm going to do it like this. Then I can spin up a custom, you can spin up a bespoke environment in no time.
Absolutely. That's the whole goal of containers, is each thing is crafted, each environment that you build is crafted around your application and only what it needs, and none of the extra stuff you get standing up a traditional, you know, Windows or Linux server with the full operating system.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it might be multiple containers interacting too, so that you can have some kind of persistence between the database container. Blow away the container for whatever front end, WordPress, whatever.
Exactly, all day long. Yeah,
bring it back
when you need, on demand.
Yeah, and have the same database running and chugging along in the background.
That's my plan.
But no, it's like one of those things. It's like Git. You know, just when I think I understand what's going on, something happens, and I'm like, what the.
Yeah, we're slowly.
And then I have to delve into the Google search for people's pages who are much smarter than I am.
Oh yeah, that's what I teach my students. I said the primary skill that they're supposed to take from my class is how to find it, how to find the answer. Not so much that I'm teaching them the answers that they need to know. I'm teaching them how to find it.
What's everybody else working on? How's your app, admissions app redesign going, GVSU peeps? Ours is on hold.
Oh.
Ours is going pretty good. Currently working on the undergrad portion of it. Probably done. Not done. Probably next couple of weeks we'll be wrapping up that and then moving on to the graduate part, which all runs through the same kind of like management system, like all the questions and stuff. It's just the graduate part has a little bit more complicated questions as far as, you know, like asking previous experience and stuff. So, it's going pretty good. I imagine in the next probably 1 or 2 months we'll be at a point where we can hand it off to the client and make sure that everything is working right. But we've been...
What's new, though? What have you done? Like, what's different than what was there before? Is this just a design refresh? Is this new questions? I mean, is it content or is this like a structural user interface, super usability change?
Yeah, there's a lot of usability changes going on with it as far as reducing the amount of questions, but getting at the same point, or even at some points adding more questions to get at the same point, but reducing questions later on.
How different? You mentioned a little bit. How different is the application program or process for your graduate school? I mean, ours has always struggled to kind of use the same tool, or because in graduate school, you're really applying to the program, whereas undergraduate, you're applying to the university, and it's Is that general, or is that...
No, that's the same way ours works, too. I would say about 50% of the questions between the two applications mm-hmm. are the same. So it's just like kind of offsetting the rest of those questions between the two. And, you know, pulling them together in the same app, but then at the same time, you know, giving like the administrator and all like the banner feeds and stuff like that, like the same experience.
Is the nature of the unique questions, are they totally different, or is it just different questions? Like, is the structure of applying to graduate school just dramatically different, where you're kind of using patterns and technology that you never would use, or is it just a matter of content?
Okay. It's more just a matter of content. Just asking the questions, getting the correct answers and stuff like that. For the most part, some of them are a little bit different. Like undergrad, for instance, asks stuff like previous high schools that you went to, right? That's like one of the big things I'm doing right now. And there's some possibility like 46,000 high schools that we at least in Banner have on record as far as what your high school experience might have been, or your secondary education. But the graduate app doesn't care about that at all. So there's that entire section just asking about where did you go to high school? Like, mm-hmm. we don't care about that on the graduate app. And then same thing with high school. It's like, where did you get your if you're transferring or something, where previously did you go to college? Now it's similar to graduate mm-hmm. in that you're like, where did you get your undergrad? But slightly different. So it kind of uses the same data, where right now we essentially have two different apps mm-hmm. that oddly enough share the same main table mm-hmm. in our database, as far as, you know, here's your first name, here's your last name, here's all our contact information.
Everything's starting with a person, and there are commonalities there. Yeah.
So we're kind of just pulling it together in one app and just saying, based on the type, which by type, we're essentially saying, you know, are you an undergrad? And then are you a graduate? And then it would break it down more than that. So you're an undergrad who's also a freshman, who's also mm-hmm. like still in high school. Like, that's mm-hmm. a type, right? Mm-hmm. Versus are you an undergrad who's also in high school or who has graduated high school in the last few years or something. Mm-hmm. And then based on what type that is, or if you're a graduate, right, and you've like graduated from some other university, like based on those types of the questions that we're asking. So we're kind of pushing it more in that direction. And so far it's been doing very well, but there is a decently large discrepancy in the question differences between the two, but there's also enough similarities in which we could pull them mm-hmm. together.
Does everybody... Go ahead. Do all of the graduate applications use this one app? Or is there anybody that says, no, this will not work for me. I need to ask very specific questions due to my specific program. This won't work. Or does the app work for that? Like, is there a way to customize specific questions for a specific program?
Yeah, that's a good question. We do have a few different programs, and a couple of them are starting to adapt the same model, but all fall in the same category. But our physical therapy is a good example. They fall into a CAS system, which is just like its own independent application. It's a service they actually purchased, mm-hmm. where students can just apply to multiple universities at the same exact time, and then we offer or require a supplemental form. So they fill out most of the questions over there on that other third-party system, and then come back to us and fill out, I don't know, like 15 questions of other stuff that the app did not quite ask that we also need to know. And there's a few other programs that are starting to go in that direction. Most of them are kind of like in the the physical therapy, movement science type fields. And they're starting to move more in that direction. So I guess I'm interested to see where that actually goes, because that does make it easy on our end. But at the same time, we do have to make that supplemental form, as you're mentioning, which is that form that has additional questions or just different questions than the actual app. And we are engineering this in a way that if you choose that you're going into that particular program, it can potentially ask you less questions or filter down the questions that it's asking you.
We, a long time ago, had kind of, so there's a graduate college, but not all grad programs go through the graduate college. There's professional schools that have their own thing. And a lot of schools, I would say in the last 4 or 5 years, have kind of gone off the reservation and done their own, mm-hmm. or purchased some outside firm, like Public Health uses, I think, a service called Sophos. There's a number of them that is kind of the starting point for an application for a very specific field. So we still have a graduate college app, but a lot of the programs kind of do their own thing because they need to, or they say that they need to because they're so specialized. So we don't maintain those, thankfully. They kind of do them on their own. So it's all over the place for us, for the graduate specific app. And we don't do as much with grad as we do with undergrad. That's all one single app because that's kind of all controlled in one place. Even their recruiting is just kind of a mishmash. The requirements are all across the board. It varies so much program to program for us, what the requirements are, and then ultimately what the application looks like.
Awkward.
Totally awkward.
So what else is going on?
We need
wasn't there something that somebody wanted to talk about last time?
Yeah, I feel like I remember that too.
Or somebody had something. Somebody, I don't, yeah, I cannot recall what it was though.
Huh.
Yeah,
we should
write that down somewhere.
That's on us. So nobody did any sort of training? And...
I wonder if maybe it was me. Like, I think I wrote this down a while back, though. Like, I started to do a monthly email newsletter to all our content contributors or CMS administrators.
I thought
just giving them.
I thought you like, were going to talk about some of like the security craziness that you were learning in your classes.
Oh, yeah, it is really interesting. We learned about the Equifax one last night. Went into detail about that. That was the patch for an open source software they were using. They left the. They didn't. What was the name of the patch, Dan? You guys said it earlier today.
Yes, I forgot what the acronym is.
We patched our own systems with this patch.
Struts. Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
Well, it's Apache Struts that they didn't patch.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, they left that open for 2.5 months, so that was interesting. I don't know what else I was going to talk about. Every week we like pick something new, like the Target hack or the Equifax one, or we did the Hillary campaign one. That was really interesting.
What happened to that one? I remember it happened, but what was the vulnerability?
It was the Mike Podesta, I don't remember his first name, Podesta, who was Hillary's campaign manager or doing something with her campaign. He got an email basically from a phishing Gmail, and it said, you need to reset your Gmail password. And he thought it was fishy, so he sent it to their IT guy, and he said, is this for real, or do I need to reset my password? And he's like, well, you probably should reset your password. So he opened the email and clicked the link.
Oh, my God. Oh, no.
And that supposedly the IT guy was like, no, I meant you should go to Gmail and reset your password just to be safe. But he didn't communicate that clearly enough, so Podesta just clicked the link and put in his password, and instantly they had access to all Hillary's email campaign emails, everything.
Or at least the ones that went through Podesta, which would have been most of them, yeah.
Yeah. So, again and again, the reoccurring theme is social engineering. It's always a person that's the weakest point, sure. Not the systems. So, yeah. And this is really interesting that we keep trying to make passwords more complex. It's harder for humans to remember them. So we go from, a minimum of 8 to a minimum of 12. And then you have to have a capital and numbers and a special character. But you can't use the same password every, 6 months. Or you can never use the same password. So people end up making their passwords very easy for computers to figure out now. Because they're using, password 1, period. Or password 2, bang. Or something like that. Or the name of their dog. Or the name of their spouse with, a birth year or something like that. And there's actually a study that showed the less requirements you make on a password, people actually end up making more complex passwords and remembering them for a longer period of time. So then they don't have to keep changing it, and they don't write it down somewhere, or they don't have to look it back up. So I thought that was really interesting. The stats were actually leaning towards less requirements on passwords. Actually, humans make more better decisions. So I'll have to find that study because I thought it was super interesting. So we were talking about that last time too.
And I think it was a study from
MIT.
Yes, that was it. Yeah.
And they just discovered human nature is, again, the weak spot.
Yep.
And people would actually figure out, like, if your password, how long, ours have to change every year now, Scott, or every 6 months?
Yeah, I think it's yearly.
It's every year. So I'm up to change in 19 days. I keep getting reminded. And
it's the worst time of the year.
People would have complex passwords if they got to keep them, just like Dave said. And otherwise, they'd figure out the pattern. Like, I can use a new password, or I can reuse a password in 6 tries. Yeah. Or in 6 cycles or whatever. And then they just reuse the same password.
It's funny because ours says you can't use the same password in the last 11 times. And it's like, do I just type a different password 11 times and reset the previous one? But
yeah. Tricky.
It's almost worth it.
This is why everyone needs to move to a password manager where each of your accounts has a different password that you don't care what it is. It's just a random string of characters. And all you have to remember and maintain and possibly reset every once in a while just to keep it fresh is one master password. And
am I crazy to be scared of putting all my eggs in one basket, though?
But think about it. I mean, the vector is one of your accounts having a weak password that you reuse somewhere else. So the vector is, I'm registered at Amazon, I'm registered at Equifax, I'm registered at here, and one of those services get compromised, and then they've got my email address and they have my password. And if I've used that anywhere else, they can have access to my email account or something like that. And once you get your email account, then you can start resetting passwords, and it kind of just grows from there. So
I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about LastPass and having every single password be in one place. And that is a giant bullseye on LastPass, yeah, because that's where everybody stores their password.
Yeah.
Then you need...
That's how 1Password works as well, which is what I use. But same thing. Like, if somebody gets that keychain and they can figure out my master password, then don't they kind of know every single password?
Or some idiot at LastPass does something stupid, because we know humans are the weakest link, and something doesn't get patched.
Sure,
but LastPass goes down.
But it's not password companies that are getting hacked. It's and so you've got this company who their whole business revolves around doing passwords right. Equifax's business has nothing to do with doing passwords right. Their business is to make money off of information. So their IT doesn't do as good a job. And so, you know, you're either trusting, you know, everybody else, or you're trusting one company.
Yeah, it's just trust, right?
It spends their all day long. They spend all the, you know, all their time making sure that they've got a rock solid thing. And that's their business. So, I mean, I'd rather have somebody focused on that than trust some sort of, corporation who has farmed out their IT to somebody who doesn't really care, you know.
But
yeah, to Scott's point, to Scott's point, I agree that that is a weak spot, and it never will be overcome. But at the same time, LastPass has had security issues pop up, and they fix it immediately.
I know that's their business, so they can't go down. But, you know, throwing my entire life of passwords into one place that I don't know what's on the end of that. I can trust that, and I assume that they're on their game. It's their business that, you know, there isn't that weak link, versus putting them in something that I built and I know and I trust locally, or a piece of local software that kind of keeps it for me.
Think about it as a hacker, though. Like, your resources and time, you're not going to go, well, you might, but you want to go for the company that you can get all the information, like the credit card information and the finance information. If I get hacked into LastPass, I now have hundreds of users with thousands of passwords.
It's a bigger bullseye on LastPass.
Yeah, but like, now I have to sift through.
Yeah.
Like, maybe you have passwords to 4chan. Like, I could give a shit, but I need your bank one. Like, what I want is the financial information, not your 100 passwords to your random site.
And here's the thing, the way those companies are set up, the stuff that they're storing on their servers, they actually have no way to decrypt them.
Right.
And I know encryption can, you know, is a moving target, but this is a company who's actually keeping up with that target. But, like, you know, they specifically keep the encryption key at your local. So you said, you know, you would trust a local, you know, what you're doing locally. That's actually what you do when you register for one of these companies, that they generate the key and it's kind of stored locally. There isn't something other than your master password, which, you know,
right.
I'd rather spend all my time keeping that password safe.
Versus keeping all of my passwords locally.
Yeah.
Like, I'm still handing over every single bit of access that I have to a company that, you know, is probably trustworthy. If anybody is, they are, versus not doing that. I mean, it's it's a slight difference in my mind. Maybe it's crazy and that was my question, but I have never gone for one of those because of the giant bullseye that might be on LastPass, because there are everybody's passwords to everything out there. And, you know, I know what I'm doing with mine locally. Like, I trust the software that I've put it into and the security that is in front of kind of that bucket of passwords of mine versus putting it into a service. Yes, a service that's meant for that and one that I should probably trust because that's their business.
And they've put many more resources than you did with your local installation. I mean, I wouldn't I don't trust my local anything. Like, you know, I mean, I'm beholden to...
But you control it, though. Like, you could do anything with it. Like, I'm not handing that over to somebody.
But I'm also...
It's a black box. It's a black box that I trust, but it's still a black box. But I don't know what's behind there.
Yeah.
LastPass offers but isn't your local software to just save locally.
Huh? Say that
again. I think LastPass offers the ability to save locally. You don't need to save it. You lose the convenience of having it shared across multiple devices, but doesn't LastPass offer the ability to just save to one blob, encrypted blob that you control?
I don't know. I think that's, you know, I mean, the security of your accounts is increased when you are always kind of that you always have a different account, a different password for every account. That's the core thing. And the convenience of having it in the cloud means no matter where I go, I can keep that security up.
That's an added benefit.
I just trust somebody who has poured tons of money into much more security than I've poured into my local desktop. And, you know, I just think they have more resources to protect than I do.
Yeah.
They probably do, but it just takes one stupid person, you know? Like, well, but all see, of that's
the thing. The way that they store and the kind of exchange it is, it's different than your account password relationship between you and, say, Amazon. I mean,
well, let's say something doesn't get updated. Let's say, I mean, there's 100 different ways that something could go wrong. Like, yes, that's what they tell you, and yes, that's what you assume. But
you're making the same assumption with the software that you have locally.
I am making that same assumption.
I would say your local machine is less secure than...
But I'm not putting it into a cloud where I don't know as much about it with a giant bullseye on it. Like, I'm not handing that over to somebody else necessarily.
I guess I just don't get the giant bullseye thing. I mean...
Because it's everybody's passwords for everything everywhere.
No, I understand the concept, but I just don't think it's as... I mean, to me, the key word in that phrase is giant, not bullseye. I mean, the bigger it is, the harder it is to hack. When you're talking about a company, a security company, like a company who is doing it. But I also have read up. I've read through, and again, it's what they say. But I mean, it's also how other people have reviewed it. And the kind of the nature of the way that they store the information, even if somebody got all the databases, like, it's useless.
You think. I mean, again, you're handing this off to somebody else and making an assumption. It's probably a safe assumption. And yes, they do everything they possibly can. The little thing, the single little piece is I control it versus I'm putting it into somewhere that somebody else controls that they probably do everything that they say, but all it takes is one little thing to, you know, not be right with that. And again, that's probably a crazy stance to take. If anybody's secure, it's probably LastPass, and they've probably done everything that they have said that they were doing, but you're making that assumption versus, again, having that control. Like, I'm throwing my entire life of passwords to the cloud and making an assumption that they're safe and trusting the people that I'm handing them to versus not handing them to somebody.
I mean, it sounds so close to like, I'm going to keep all my money under my mattress and not put it in the bank because the bank is a big target for, you know, I mean, And I guess the point would be, well, you know, we don't have password insurance, right? But I don't know. I
that's why I haven't done one of those.
Yeah.
Could I? Probably. And would everything be safe? Most likely. But in my mind, and maybe it's a tiny little thing and it's totally unfounded, which it sounds like it probably is, but, you know, stuck in my ways. I don't know.
What you trust about it is that what you're putting online and putting into the cloud is really, I don't care if anybody gets what I store online because it's a highly encrypted blob of nothing.
Right.
And I can then share it betwixt my machines. Now, if somebody catches in between, you know, there are all kinds of security issues that could come up. But what gets stored online is useless to anyone without the key that I have locally. And you have to trust that because it's proven, it's math, it's left the barn. There are encryption protocols to follow, and these companies have. So I guess I just trust that part of it.
I mean,
they're constantly under scrutiny.
They are under scrutiny, but I would love to see, you know, regulation. But that's just because I'm a Democrat, I guess.
Doesn't want in those?
Right. Keep them under scrutiny. Maybe I don't want the government to touch LastPass. I just feel like combined with the fact that it's an encrypted blob, the point of an encrypted blob is it doesn't matter where it is. And then I do agree that, you know, you should do all the other things like multi-factor authentication. So, you know, if somebody gets your master password, it should be meaningless because they also don't have your device at the same time, or they don't have that key. So
it's probably safe, and the encrypted blob that I'm storing locally versus the encrypted blob that I am transferring over whatever lines to get to whatever cloud storage, it's that piece of it, and I'm constantly transferring that stuff back and forth. Like, we're not, the features they bring to the table probably make it worth the non-existent risk in my mind, but it's just this idea of I am taking my entire life of passwords and I am, yes, it's encrypted regardless of where it is, throwing it over the internet to this other provider, which I probably should trust based on what they do, versus not doing that.
I think we can all agree that people should use some sort of password management, and they should not use the same password for multiple services.
Don't use password for your password.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It is shocking to me how many people can't even make that jump. You know, the jump of, well, I don't want to have to remember more than one password. Well, that's where a password manager comes in, of whatever flavor. Yeah.
It's better than my parents and the index card that they write all theirs on.
My parents do that too. God bless them.
Actually, you know, my dad does that too, and he has it in his he has a little flip thing in his walker, and he keeps it on an index card. And,
well, at least, you know, he keeps it on his person.
It's probably more secure.
I was going to say, that's not going to get hacked.
True.
Unless he, you know, somebody takes it. But I told him when I watched him do it, I was like, okay, yeah, that's great. But don't write down exactly what it's for right next to it. Just write down the password.
Don't put your username with it.
Yeah. It's like when I create an account for somebody and I have to create one by hand, I'm always like, here's your username by email. And then I send the password to them in chat.
Like, advice for anybody creating passwords if they aren't using a password manager is like, make it a passphrase, not just a word. And one of those words in your phrase should be a non-dictionary word.
Yes.
And if you can do that, you're halfway there.
Poop muddler.
I think poop and muddler are in there.
Right.
I think those are all in the dictionary.
Yeah.
Yep.
It depends on if you're looking at an Urban Dictionary.
I hope nobody actually muddles poop either. That'd be gross.
No. I was going to...
So we can probably agree that I'm crazy for doing what I do, but...
No, I think you can find as much concern about cloud-based password managers on the internet as you can support for them. It's logical. I've just decided to trust, for whatever risk, I've just decided to trust somebody who spends all their time trying to do something where I'm not going to spend that time. Even if I install something locally, I'm not going to be on it as much as they are.
The thing that they bring to the table that is nice is that random string of characters, and it just does that all for you. Like, mm-hmm. for my passwords, while yes, they're in a secure blob locally, they came out of my head.
Oh, yeah. No, I have to have a random string of characters to feel safe.
And that's a really nice feature, and I probably should trust them. But
you could do that with your local, right? I mean...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, yeah. That's just any password.
Well, I mean, I do. I do, of course. My passwords are super secure.
That's, of course, the truth.
Yeah, all of them.
What irks me is... So with the Equifax attempted the other night to freeze all of my mm-hmm. credit with the top three
good luck.
Agencies. So Equifax, bless their heart, they are actually allowing free freezing for 30 days. And after that, they're going to charge people for freezing their accounts at Equifax. So special little place in hell for them. But so lovely. I actually got my account frozen mm-hmm. at Equifax, but the other two, I typed in all of my information, created an account, and sometimes they're like password, like I think on a couple they wouldn't let me have a password longer than 15 characters.
I just posted an article. You have to read that. Strange, Equifax was actually sending people to phishing sites.
Yeah, that was amazing.
Oh, I saw that
through Twitter. Yeah,
they posted
gosh, maddening.
Luckily I did it.
They posted it like eight times on Twitter.
Crazy.
The whole thing is so ridiculous, too, because you didn't choose to be in their stuff.
Mm-mm.
It's just everybody.
Yeah. It's like every adult in America.
Yeah. Like if you have credit,
I was
going to
say, that's the difference between stealing
get rid of my information.
Somebody's complete identity and stealing a password that gets into your credit card account. Right? You can't log into your credit card account and get your social security number and like all those other points of information that somebody needs to actually do identity theft, where like the information that was leaked from Equifax, that's all they need. I mean, it has every single credential that they possibly would need to do any kind of identity theft on you, and that's the scary part.
Well, I think it's like unprecedented because it's something none of us opted into.
No.
Nobody's opted in. This is the first breach where like you as a consumer didn't say, yeah, it's okay if you use my information target or whatever. Like, we didn't have a choice. Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Yeah, maybe they'll just get sued out of existence.
I'm sure they will.
I bet they're still making tons of money.
I don't know.
Not under our current regulatory environment.
I think what it's going to take is
the free market might get rid of them.
Yeah, they are.
A bad actor or actors, if they had this information and hit the ground running and actually started just utilizing all that information that they could get, like immediately, get out fast, make as much money as they could, and it hurt hundreds and maybe thousands of people, then there would be something done about it. But as it is, this is going to trickle out over long periods of time.
Long time.
And how do we change the social security number from being a unique ID for people?
Yeah. I don't know. Can we have a more unique identifier for humans?
I read an article that they tried to do that at one point, but nobody bought into it. Like, the government was like, this is not meant for this. This is meant for Social Security. Stop using it as a unique identifier. And everybody was like, screw you, we're going to use it.
# metric system.
Maybe.
Yeah, I still remember. I was around at our university when they transferred from using the Social Security number as the key identifier for everything to, a made-up number that was unique to our university.
We had a faculty member just last year post grades with Social Security numbers next to them.
Whoa.
Oopsie.
Yep. Still doing it.
That's how I used to check my tests, Go out. And
yeah. Last four.
There's your Social Security. Well, and then it changed to the last four.
Oh, okay.
Last four was the secure way of doing it, You're anonymous.
Well, I tell you what, the more I learn in this class, the less I put stuff online. And I have a password manager, but I'm going to agree with Scott. Like, you're crazy to put more and more and more information out there because nothing is safe because humans are the weak link.
Yeah.
That's what I've learned so far.
So this morning, I got an email from one of my credit cards. And it said, well, actually, it was a phone call. And it seemed like a phishing thing. It was like they left a voicemail and they said, call this number because we think somebody's compromised your account. And I thought, oh, no, no, no. So I logged into the account, and then the account said the same exact thing. So, well, close to the same exact thing. But I called them, and they said, have you recently logged in from New York? And I said, possibly, because I'm using VPN. And she goes, oh, okay. So she, like, unlocked my account. I said, has there been any fraudulent charges? And she said, no. And then I just tried to log in right now because we're talking about this, and I'm paranoid because that just happened today. And now it's asking me two security questions, which I would have never selected. Like, yes. I don't know who the hell my childhood doctor was or what my favorite restaurant was 10 years ago when I filled out these questions. You know, like, so now, after this fun little podcast, I'm going to have to call them again. And that's going to be fun. So, related topic. Yeah, isn't this talking? I have not used this credit card probably in the last 6 months. So I was like, do I keep it even open or do I just cancel it? Like, I don't know.
Sucks.
Yeah. It's all going to get worse before it gets
maybe
better.
Maybe I'll just ask for a new card number. Yeah.
Maybe it'll never get better.
I was going to say.
I don't know. Change my password.
I use my password manager to answer those questions too. Like, I pick just a question, copy it.
Oh, just like a crazy password?
A random blob of words.
Well, that's
fun. Yeah, each question is just a password. Yeah, I've done that. Then.
Or you don't know what your childhood doctor is or restaurant. Like, was it Applebee's 10 years ago? I have no idea. You know what I mean? Like, it's not Applebee's today.
You used to love Applebee's. Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Applebee's every day.
Where do you want to eat?
Applebee's.
Breakfast.
Again?
Do they breakfast? I don't know if they do.
Baby back ribs.
Let's not eat there.
Oh, wait.
Chili's.
Did baby back
Chili's,
ribs?
Baby back ribs.
Chili's.
Chili's.
Barbecue sauce.
Barbecue sauce.
That would be nice.
But
make up answers, write them down.
But favorite similar, I am excited. Bikini. Well, not, I'm not excited. But if somebody did compromise my account, at least they only know my like 38 character alphanumeric with random character thing that my password generator created, right? So it's not like anything else is compromised. It's just a pain in the ass. Like, stop it.
Yeah,
I know. I'm like, no, I gotta have to call.
That's my
you.
Reaction
like,
too.
Maybe I'll wait 29 days and finally call them.
I think our best bet.
Barely any income. You're not gonna get anything from me.
I think our best bet is just switch. I mean, we've got the password protector, but in the end, the password wallet, which is one form of authentication, but then switching to multi-factors of various forms.
What's with the security
we
question
thought
crap?
Of yet. Like, even, you know, by themselves, wouldn't it be suck? They would suck. Like, but maybe there's a visual, like a camera that I hold up the equivalent of a QR code in my face and voice and a password.
I mean, all those can be hacked, though, right? But it does makes harder layers.
Individually, but if you put it all together, they're a force multiplier.
I bet we'll get there. I think, like, even two factors getting more and more common. It's just those things are expensive right now. They'll get cheaper. We'll do it everywhere.
Cool. Well, on that note, I think we're at time.
I think we are.
Visit our website, hiatedhangout.com. Like us on iTunes and everywhere you can get your podcasts. Thank you. Good day.
And if you know my security questions, let me know.